Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tom Harris Live. This is Tom Harris speaking to you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And Chris Reardon got cut off.
Don't cut me off!
Yep. The timing is always key, folks. And you know, people are complaining occasionally that when I come on, after Chris's show here on Saturday morning, here on United Kingdom Radio, that my show actually comes out a little bit late, and people complain about the wait between the news and my show. And hopefully that it's getting closer, trying to inch my way a little bit closer to starting right at the end of the news, but I don't even know how long the delays are half the time. I have no idea. Anyway, welcome. And it is a beautiful sunny day here in Chicago. It is cold and there's snow on the ground, but the sky is clear and it is sunny out. And I'm hoping that we'll get a little bit of snow melt today. I don't think that we're expecting any more snow this weekend. So hopefully that'll be good to get out and about. And Pete will be over a little bit later. And we'll be running around and running some errands, I think, today. And hopefully that'll all work out just fine. Just another reminder here, folks, that I will be on next week. Now, a lot of the presenters are not going to be around next Saturday because it is Christmas Day. And they're going to be off doing things with their family. And I will be spending the day with my boyfriend, Pete, who I often talk about on the show. And that'll be a good time. But I am going to spend my hour with you in the morning. The morning to us, you know, because my show is on at 10 a.m. I tell everybody, yeah, my show is on at 10 a.m., but not in the U.K. because over there it's 4 p.m. But anyway, I will be on Christmas Day. And if anybody would like to participate in that show, even if you're not going to be around to listen live, you can send in clips, audio clips, or you can send in emails. And the email you can send them to is tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. Or indeed, you can send them to tom@tomharrisusa.com. They both go to the same mailbox, so it really doesn't matter which one you use. And you can send in your clips or your emails. And I will either read your email or play your clip out on the air. I have two clips so far. So we'll have clips from a couple of the other presenters here. And, of course, if anybody wants to call in. Now, hopefully the Skype will be working for me because I noticed that Chris was having some problems with the new version of Skype. And I'm expecting to have problems with it as well because it automatically updated the Skype. And I didn't have any say in the matter. I was not given the option of not updating the Skype. So looking forward to finding that out if anybody would like to phone in. Of course, there are two ways to contact the show. You can telephone in at 020-3287-1488 if you're in the UK. That is a premium. That is not a premium rate number. Sorry. That is a local London number and is not a premium rate number. Or indeed, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. So a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that I was going to the doctor, and I kind of promptly forgot to mention it again. And that there's not any particular reason for that. I just have kind of forgotten about it. One of the things about that was that, you know, they were going to do a bunch of tests. They were going to be a couple of weeks before the test results came in. But the test results have come in, folks, and it looks as though there's nothing wrong with me. Though I do still have two tests that are left to be done. And those are actually going to have to be done in the office. And so I am going to be submitting myself right after the holidays. It'll be January 9th. I have to go in for an endoscopy. And for those of you who are not quite sure what that is, that's where they stick a camera down your throat to look at your stomach. And boy, am I looking forward to that! Anyway, that is what's going on. But all of the blood tests and stuff that they did, they all came out fine. They basically told me you got to lose some weight, which yeah, no duh, and get a little more exercise and that sort of thing. And yeah, I expected that that was something that I definitely expected to hear. So nothing amiss health-wise. And indeed, it looks pretty good as far as the numbers, you know, cholesterol and all that stuff. Look good. Yeah. So just have to lose some weight and move around more. And that's kind of what I expected to hear. So that was kind of the best case scenario for the doctor visit. I'll be perfectly honest with you. And lately I've been thinking, you know, should I go through with this endoscopy or not? But, you know, this is the sort of thing that you should have done if you're having a certain set of symptoms. And I'm still having the symptoms. So I guess I need to check. And they're going to be checking to see if I might have a stomach ulcer. And unlike, you know, this is actually a common misconception about stomach ulcers, is that they're caused by stress. And over the decades, the doctors have found that this isn't actually the case, that stomach ulcers are actually caused by a bacteria, a specific bacteria. And you can remember back in the old days, and they're talking, say, if anybody had a stomach ulcer, they would make them drink milk, lots and lots of milk. And now it turns out that milk actually aggravates stomach ulcers. So that should be interesting. Anyway, that is coming up after the holidays. And, of course, I'll keep you posted because I have no secrets from you all. Well, very few secrets anyway. I was watching a DVD the other day. And I'm going to, before I get into talking about the Czech Republic, because I'm going to be doing that, finish that off this week, hopefully. I watched a DVD this week that I need to mention. Now, this is a DVD, and it comes from the TV series Nova. And this is something from a few years ago, and it's called Judgment Day, Intelligent Design on Trial. Those of you who have been listening to my podcast and my show for a long time know what my position is on, you know, creationism, intelligent design, and all of that. They are unscientific in the extreme. And, you know, my problem with them is not so much that people would actually believe in that nonsense, but there are actually a lot of people out there who are trying to force that mythology to be taught in our public schools. I don't think that that's probably so much a problem over there in the UK, but it's a huge problem here. The anti-science, right-wing religious people trying to get evolution taken out of the schools in favor of this thing called intelligent design, which is a repackaging of biblical creation. And there's no two ways about it. And this documentary was actually about the Dover trial. Now, Dover, Pennsylvania, a very small town in eastern Pennsylvania, actually was trying to force their school system to teach intelligent design in the science class. And there was a big trial, and you had experts come and give their testimony for either side. And the judge, who was a conservative Republican judge appointed by George W. Bush, ruled that the teaching of intelligent design in science class is unconstitutional because it is religion. And this is a very, very good documentary. Again, it's called Judgment Day, Intelligent Design on Trial. And I definitely would recommend that people will pick this up. Get it on Netflix or something. You don't have to go out and buy it. But rent it, borrow it, whatever. And it gives a very, very balanced view of the trial and everything surrounding it. And I thought it was just terrific. So I was very, very pleased with that. And one of the more interesting things that I've been watching in recent time. Zach is saying, by 3 a.m. Australian time, Christmas will be over by the time I do my show. Yeah, I understand that, but I do apologize. What do you do? What can you do? I'm seeing other messages here, but I don't think they're meant for me. Yeah, okay. These are... I'm going to go ahead and close that. Okay, I don't want to be involved in that discussion. All right, so here we are. And I'm going to go ahead and give the phone number again, 020-328-7148. Or if you want to Skype in, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. And I'm going to go ahead and do Today in History. As always, I pull significant events from history and read them out on the show. And today is... December 18th, And this day in history, on December 18th, in 1719, Thomas Fleet published his Mother Goose's Melodies for Children. The first appearance of Mother Goose there in 1719. In 1774, the Empress Maria Theresa of the Austro-Hungarian Empire expelled all the Jews from Prague, Bohemia, and Moravia. We'll be talking a little bit about that in my show about Prague, actually. In 1787, New Jersey became the third United States state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. In 1796, the first Sunday newspaper was published here in the United States, which would have been the Baltimore Monitor. I wonder if they had color comics. I don't think in 1796, no. In 1865, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified, abolishing slavery. In 1892, the Nutcracker Suite was first premiered by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, and is well known now for having in its cast Suko's daughter, Jade. So good luck to Suko on her Nutcracker, because this is the time of year for that, isn't it? In 1936, the first giant panda was imported into the United States. In 1964, the Pink Panther cartoon series premiered. And I believe that that was a, if I'm not mistaken, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on this, that that was actually a movie cartoon. It was not a television cartoon. Of course, many years later, that there was a TV series of Pink Panther cartoons. In 1966, another cartoon, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, premiered on CBS television, and I believe that's still being shown every year at this time of year. And in 1976, the TV show Wonder Woman, starring Linda Carter, premiered on ABC TV. Slow news day, isn't it? Slow history day. We need to have more events on December 18th that are worth talking about. Famous birthdays on December 18th. We say happy birthday to Elizabeth, the Empress of Russia, who was born in 1709. She was the daughter of the Tsar Peter the Great and his wife Catherine the First. In 1786, composer Karl Maria von Weber, who wrote Der Freischütz, among other things, he was born in Germany in 1786. In 1879, Paul Klee, the abstract painter, was born in Switzerland. In 1886, Ty Cobb, baseball great, well known for his time with the Detroit Tigers. His lifetime base stealing total was 892 bases stolen. Of course, was one of the very early Hall of Famers. And 1916, pinup girl Betty Grable was born. I'm sure Irving is all about Betty Grable. 1939, one of my favorite sci-fi authors here, Michael J. Moorcock, was born. I grew up, you know, very aware of Michael Moorcock. And when I was a teenager, he was by far my favorite sci-fi writer. I love Michael Moorcock's stuff. And he's still out there, even though, you know, there was a particularly odious episode where they were, kind of the rumor had gone around that he had died. And a lot of people believed that because it was not a time when he was actually producing much work. Anyway, Michael Moorcock, born in 1939 today. So happy birthday, Michael, if you're listening. 1943, Keith Richards from the Rolling Stone was born. Looks a lot older than that, though, doesn't he? 1947, film director Steven Spielberg was born. And in 1965, Brad Pitt. And that was today's birthdays and today in history. And we'll just move on. All right. So we have messages here coming in on Skype. What do we have to say? Mark from Bristol is listening. Hello, Mark, and hopefully you will hear from you later in the show. And I see that Bob, I don't know, is also out there. Bring on Pastafarianism, she says. Glad I'm okay. Thank you very much, Bob, for that. Pastafarianism. That's actually a religion I approve of. The flying spaghetti monster. Yes, we do love the giant spaghetti monster around these parts. All I can say to that is ramen, sister, ramen. So that was today in history. So really curious about this Skype thing, because Chris was having a lot of problems with this earlier. If anybody would like to try this out, call in, have a bit of a natter, feel free to do so. And then here in the second half of the show, probably we'll start talking a little bit about the second part of my trip to the second part of the Czech Republic trip. I just had this Skype just went crazy here. I've been hearing Paul Edwards talking about this on his show, the problems he's been having with Skype, and I think that the problems are relating to this update, because here I've had all these chat windows open, and then all of a sudden all of them got messages weeks back. Very, very strange. But it hasn't really changed anything on this side. So it's just a little bit confusing here. I'd like to say hello to Ian Duff in over in Canada. I see that he has popped online, and so hopefully is out there listening. And I see that I'm actually on Skype at the moment. So that's very, very bizarre. These are old messages being delivered to us. Huh. Interesting that. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of trails, and then we'll be back, and we will hear Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
Whether you want to chat, rant, rave, gob off, natter speak, or just simply listen, then here is the place to get it off your chest. Not like that. Join me, Mike Cullen, for The Mouth of the Time, Thursdays from 8 p.m. and Saturdays from 9 p.m., where we'll do all of the above.
Chat, rant, rave, gob off,
natter speak. Yeah, we get the idea. The Mouth of the Time on United Kingdom Radio. Miss it? Then there's always the podcasts. Go on, take me with you. Or join in live. See you there.
Zuko, I tried to be more political and edgy. Doesn't seem to work. So it's back to simply being United Kingdom Radio Sex Goddess. Join me live Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time, 12 noon New York time, for some random chat with a little sensuality thrown in. I can't help it.
And there we have the very lovely Suko, who will be on tomorrow. Now, Mike Cullen will not be on this evening. I do believe that he is going to be playing at a private party. There was a message from Skype a little bit earlier, so good luck to that, Mike. He's actually going to be doing a disco tonight, and that'll be good for him. So sorry to miss Mike's show, but he won't be around. I'm assuming that Sean will be here as normal. But don't know. Haven't heard from Sean. So unless you hear otherwise, I'm assuming that Sean Riches will be here following my show at 5 p.m. UK time. I do feel a little bit scattered today, folks. I don't know what it is. I'm just kind of running around trying to make sure that everything is working properly. And it's just very distracted at the moment. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and before we start talking about the Czech Republic again, we're going to have Chris Reardon Has Decreed.
Chris Reardon!
I love it! I love it!
And today on Chris Reardon Has Decreed, as always, I get clips of Chris from the past and then I will play them out on the show for you to hear. And Chris Reardon Has Decreed this week is the following.
Put your clothes back on. If you're sitting in a leather chair, don't start getting undressed, at least not before I finish this program. It's rude, quite apart from anything else.
And that's what Chris Reardon Has Decreed this week. Stay tuned next week when Chris may decree something like this.
I am pleased and very proud to say the cat is in the box on a lovely cat bed. Slice bits off with a knife and gradually eat it. You will be there forevermore. I mean, it would be fantastic. No, I'm not advertising, dear. I'm just telling you what I've got.
And that was Chris with some very interesting ideas about cats. So there we are. All right, so it looks as though nobody's going to call in, but that's fine. Be happy to continue on my merry way and finish off my little discussion about traveling in the Czech Republic. Now, there's a couple of things that I kind of forgot to mention about this trip. First of all, when I was there, and I was actually in the Czech Republic in 1996. It was my big 8-month trip to Europe, and actually was able to spend a couple of weeks kind of traipsing around the Czech countryside. Now, I made a little bit of a mistake last time, folks, when I was talking about when I first arrived in the Czech Republic and had spent some time in Prague and then went out into the countryside. Now, one of the interesting things I started to talk about last week, and I never really kind of carried on that thread of thought, was a little bit talking about the trains there. As I mentioned, I took the train to Prague from Berlin, kind of a straight line shot over from Berlin. And of course, coming from Berlin, we had this modern train, beautiful train, and that took us all the way to Prague. And then when I left Prague, I actually had to make my way to this kind of area of Moravia. And what I had done is I'd sat down with a map before I even went on my trip, and found out the various places that I needed to go to kind of see where my family came from. And I kind of sat down and looked. And one of the things that I noticed, kind of really early on, was that a lot of these little towns were actually very close together, like with just within a couple of hours walk from each other. Maybe that is just the way it was back then. You know, the sort of the people who came from a similar area would end up in a similar area when they would leave, because they would know other people from other villages nearby, you know, who had gone to the United States, and they'd say, oh, well, that sounded like a good place, you know, let's go there too. So maybe that's kind of part of the reason why this is. But I did find, in fact, that a lot of the places where my family had moved from, are actually very, very close together. And there were a number of different places that were more central than others. And one of the places that was central was a little town called Yemramov. And I talked a little bit about Yemramov and Dalechin last time, so I'm not going to rehash all that here. But also right in that same area, there were a few other villages. And so I used Yemramov for basically a weekend as a base of operations, and I spent a lot of time hiking around and going around in the woods. Zach is saying that the reason why nobody is called is because they're leaving me hanging to find out what I'll do. Well, you know what? I always have stuff prepared, so it may not be the most interesting stuff in the world, but I do have stuff prepared. So that's fine. Yeah. Anyway, so I had to go from Prague to Yemramov. But I couldn't go the whole way by train. So what I had to do is I had to take a train to a town called Zdar nad Sázavou in Moravia. Not a very long trip by train. I think it was about an hour and a half trip, or maybe 2 hours by train. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was, of course, you don't go from the main train station in Prague. It's not the same station. There's several train stations in Prague. And I kind of had to make my way to one that was kind of away from the center of town. But the difference in trains was absolutely striking. I'd come in on this big modern German train, you know, large, full scale. You're looking at, you know, your typical passenger train. And when I went from Prague to Zdar nad Sázavou, I had to take a local train. Well, the trains could not have been any more different. For one thing, there were tiny, tiny, tiny little trains. I think that the train had, I think, 4 cars in it. All of the cars were very, very open. They not like open air, not like you're riding along in a wagon or something, you know, with the sky above you. But they had a lot of windows. It was very airy inside. And they were very loud and very rackety. So they were these small trains, narrow gauge tracks. And that was the other thing that was different, was the tracks were much narrower in the Czech Republic. And I don't think I've ever seen anything other than They're like the L tracks here in Chicago. They really were. They're about that same, you know, size train. So this would have been like a Chicago L train size train car. Actually, very, very like the L, except maybe not quite so up to date. Very sort of Soviet. And so these noisy, rackety diesel trains just kind of put around. Now, I think I mentioned when I was at the border in the Czech Republic, coming from the border of the Czech Republic into Prague, it cost me $30, about $30 US, to get from the border to Prague. Well, guess how much it cost me to get from Prague to Zdarna Sasevo, which is a distance that's about twice the distance. $3. So you can't say that the trains in the Czech Republic were expensive. $3. And I actually had another little ride on one of the local rail when I went to up to Lidomysle, which I'll talk about in a minute. That cost me $6. So we're not talking really expensive train stuff there. And Zach is prepared to call in. Yes, Zach, if you feel like calling in, please do so. So anyway, I got something wrong. I was talking about the you know, trains and all that, and I talked about the walking to Jihlava. But I got that wrong. I was thinking of a different town. I had it pictured in my head, but I actually got the name of the town wrong. Jihlava, though it is the name of a town, is the name of the prefecture that I was in. It's sort of the county that I was in. The name of the town that I hiked to was not Jihlava. Jihlava was actually a little further away in the opposite direction. The name of the town that I hiked to was Nove Mjesto na Morave, or Morave, which means the new city in Moravia. And you find a lot of towns, actually, in the Czech Republic called Nove Mjesto or Staré Mjesto, Nove Mjesto means the new city. Staré Mjesto means the old city. So, interesting. You do find a lot of that. But the walk was still the same walk that I was talking about last time with the plum trees along the road and the old abandoned communal farms and so forth. And a beautiful, beautiful walk, like I said. It was actually really, really nice. And one of the things that I forgot to mention was on the way, I actually kind of took a little break by the roadside and had a little bit of lunch. And there was actually a ruin there. There are a lot of ruins in Moravia, a lot of old castles and things. This was a villa, like an old manor house. And I didn't go as far as the manor house itself. I was kind of concerned that there might be people living there. But I stopped actually at the gate. And the gate was this beautiful old gate. Obviously, at one time, it had been very ornate, very rich. Obviously, very wealthy people, members of the aristocracy had lived there. But by the time I was there, of course, it was very crumbling and not in very good shape. But it was one of those things that just sticks with you. The sort of decaying ruin that's right by the side of the road. So it was really, really interesting. But anyway, the name of the town was Nove Mjesto na Morave. And I was trying to find a place to stay at that point. And I actually was looking around because Nove Mjesto was supposed to have a hostel, youth hostel. And I went to the youth hostel and I was told, well, we're full. Now, that seemed a little odd to me. But as I found out later, upon a little bit more examination, the reason why the hostels were all full was because these are people who had been living on these collective farms. They had been living on these farms that had been shut down, and they had nowhere else to go. So they were living in the towns and villages, and all of the hostels were full of these Czechs who were just living there now. So I knew right away that I wasn't going to be able to find a hostel bed, and probably anywhere in the Czech Republic, other than perhaps Prague. But anyway, I thought that was really interesting. So I had to kind of restrict my base of operations to places that had either, B&B type things or rooms to let. It's like, do we have a call coming in? Hello to Mark.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. You sound great.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, so
I was listening to you going through your walks and everything.
Uh-huh.
Just brilliant. And as I was a young kid, went for walks, and they were lovely.
Uh-huh.
One time, left London, there was a problem. The mother was... But anyway, me and my younger brother, we left London, just went to walk, and I love walking.
Now, did you walk out of London, or were you just walking around?
Out of London, we only had, as it was then, 10 bob, which was about 50p, and asked the guy that was looking after the ticket, where can we go for this 10 bob, right? Time, he said, oh, you can go there. And I looked at the poster and I thought, Folkestone, that's where my family are. So we bought the ticket because we had some money from birthdays and everything. We went down there, came out at Ashford, because you've been over it, Tom, haven't you? Do you know Ashford and Folkestone?
No, not really. I'm afraid, Mark, that your sound quality is getting to be really, really, really poor.
Sorry.
It's not, I don't think it's you. I think it's the Skype.
Okay.
It's quieted down a little bit now. So you're saying you had gone to, Ashford, you said?
Yeah, Ashford in Kent.
Okay.
Me and my brother, and I'm going back, I was about 10 years old, and he was 8 years old.
Oh, that's quite far to go on your own when you're a little kid.
Yeah, but at a time when your mother wants to kill you.
Ah.
Don't worry about that. Okay, so we just went off and went down to Folkestone in Kent, and we hitchhiked and got into Folkestone and got there, and it was brilliant. But I just went for a walk, and when you were saying about walks, I just went for a walk because my nan at that time, I don't know, you know you have two nans.
Yeah.
One's either the skinny nan or the fat nan or what.
Okay.
Okay, the fat nan hated me. Absolutely hated me. Right. So she took Paul, my brother, in, and she said, you can stay there. And it was February, and it was snowing, it was so cold. But I stayed there. No, I don't want any problem here, but this just happened. So I went for a walk, and I went for a walk in the Warren that I used to always be around there. Just walked for the Warren. Came back, and my dad came down then, and he said, oh, you've done something wrong then, have you? I said, I haven't done anything. He said, oh, you can stay on the doorstep and stay there. And just shut the door and walked in. So I went for another walk.
Oh, dear.
Lovely. I just went for a walk, and it was brilliant.
I can't imagine nowadays, in the modern era, a 10-year-old hitchhiking somewhere.
Well, no, but I used to, when I was about 5 years old, I used to get, over in this country, there used to be a ticket called the Red Rover, which is on a bus,
uh-huh.
And you just go off, you just pay 5 shillings or whatever, and you just go off, and the conductors on the bus, because on the buses, there used to be the driver and the conductor, the man that took the tickets, and I used to sit there and go off, and they used to take me in and, you know, buy stuff, and brilliant. Nothing else went on. I can hear somebody else coming up here.
Yeah, I do have to apologize, Mark, that, you know, the sound is kind of cutting in and out, so, but it's an interesting story anyway. But yeah, can you imagine, you know, people nowadays would not go for that. I mean, it's a letting little kids run around and, you know, have strangers drive them around.
But isn't that, okay, we're going on another subject.
Oh, I don't want to get on another subject though.
Okay, that's been going around for ages. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. But can you imagine, you know, somebody, if somebody did that today, some little kid went out today and did that, that would be on the front page of the newspaper.
Yeah, but that's the sort of stuff. My dog is now dead now.
Oh, right? I'm sorry.
I was walking around with him, and this little girl came over and said, oh, can I stroke your dog? And I said, sorry, go away. Go away. Don't talk to me. And it's horrible. I would never hurt any kid in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it. And the other time I was coming home, and I'd gone to a pub and coming back, and there was this woman walking down the road, and I was walking behind her, and I thought, oh God, I've got to walk over the other side of the road. If she fell down, I can't do anything. I'm not allowed to do anything. She could just stay there, and it's horrible. Don't you think it's going too far, though?
I definitely do. I think that obviously just normal expressions of friendliness and so forth, people are just misconstruing everything. You know, there's so much paranoia, and it's something that I've talked about on my podcast. So if you go back far enough, you can probably find a show where I actually talk about it. But I do want to kind of stay on the subject.
I'm sorry.
It's really interesting, because when I was a teenager, I'd say when I was my mid-teens and late teens, especially right after I turned 18, I was back and moved from where I was living back to Florida again. I did a lot of hitchhiking during that time. But you just don't see that anymore like you used to.
No, because everybody's so frightened.
Yeah, I think. And of course, there's a lot of places now where hitchhiking is illegal. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about hitchhiking later in the show because when I was in the Czech Republic, I actually did some hitchhiking because there were a lot of places where you don't have like a train line or a bus line that go between them, especially kind of out in the rural areas. And I had to go on one instance, a fairly long distance, and there was really just kind of nothing that could take you there.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But anyway, thanks so much for calling, Mark. Very good to hear from you. Sorry that the Skype...
The other stuff you were doing about your life and everything, I thought that was so interesting. I thought it was brilliant.
Well, thanks very much. I do appreciate that.
So I only called in because you said someone call in.
All right. Well, you did. It's always great to hear from you, Mark, and I hope you'll call next week.
Yeah, okay. God bless.
Thank you. Right, bye-bye. Thanks, Tom. And that was Mark from Bristol there. Now we know that the Skype was working, but hopefully you guys didn't hear all the noise. There was a lot of interference, and it kind of sounded like Mark was flying through the air in an airplane. With the top down, and there was like wind rushing through the microphone. So that was kind of odd. But anyway, so I was talking a little bit about the kind of traveling around. Now, one of the things I found is that there is a language barrier over in the Czech Republic, and in particular out in the countryside. Now, in Prague is a more metropolitan place. You have a lot of people who are going there as tourists. You have a lot of American expatriates. I think not so many now as there were back then. Because back then, Prague would have been considered a very inexpensive place to live. But I think now it's probably caught up with the rest of Europe. But there's definitely, when you get out of Prague, there's a language barrier. And I could speak a few words of German. A little bit of German, not much. And a lot of people, especially in the area of the western part of the Czech Republic, do have a little bit of German. But in Moravia, it wasn't quite so clear-cut. There were a couple of instances where, I speak English, obviously, a little bit of German. But I could still not make myself understood to any people around. I only have a few words of Czech. And as you know, I'm really bad at pronouncing Czech names and Czech words. So it could be kind of a chore to try to communicate. So when I travel and I'm in a kind of a situation where there is a significant language barrier, I try not to talk to people. I try to find my own way. And most of the time I do all right, but sometimes you just have to ask. But I was talking about the... kind of walking around, what I did is I kind of based myself in Jemramov, and one of the walks that I took was to a town called Ibusinik, which is another one of these little towns where my ancestors came from. Not a long walk, about 5 miles, not terribly long, but I had this really crappy, I think I talked about this last time, this Marco Polo road atlas of the Czech Republic, and it was kind of an old old maps, I guess. And you have to remember, at this point, the Czech Republic had only been independent for 3 years. This was kind of right in the beginning. This is right when they had sort of, you know, declared themselves independent of the Soviet bloc. And indeed, at this point, the Czech Republic had just split off from Slovakia. It had only been like a year or two years or something since the Velvet Divorce, is what they call it. And so these maps in this Marco Polo Road Atlas were old Soviet-era maps. And apparently there was this paranoia in the governments of the Warsaw Pact countries, where they didn't feel like they could do accurate maps. They were worried about spies or whatever. So they would actually, you know, omit whole towns, or they would actually draw a road going the wrong way. Very, very frustrating when you're on foot. And I actually ran into this problem where I had walked to Abushinek, and I was kind of heading back. I was actually heading towards one of the other towns I wanted to visit to because they're nearby. And so it was only like a couple of miles more out of the way. And as I was walking there, the map showed this straight road, not a straight line, but just kind of the straightish road, went all the way to this town. And I knew that I was on the right road, because there actually was a signposted road number. It was like rural route C62 or something like that. I don't remember what the road number was, but it was a waymarked road. It was a signposted road, and it showed it going in a straight line about 5 miles. You get to this other little town, so that's the road I was taking. Now, obviously, you know, under normal circumstances, what would you do? You would have a hiking map that would actually show you this stuff. But what happened was, walk about a mile down the road comes to a T. It's not on the map. The map showed the road going straight through. So when I reached this T, there were no road signs kind of indicating what direction to go. And there was kind of a gully, like a little ravine. And on the other side of this little ravine, there were some buildings, and there were some footpaths that kind of went through the woods to this little village. It's like, okay, this is just weird. You know, this T is not supposed to be here. So I went and kind of went through the woods towards this whole town, hoping to find somebody to point me out. I was convinced at that point that I was on the wrong road, even though it had the right road number. I was pretty sure that I was on the wrong road. So I went through to this little town, and it was a tiny, tiny little settlement. It was, I wouldn't even call it a town. It was about 6 houses around sort of a central little square. They had a tiny, tiny little park, like a little grassy area with a bench, and that was kind of it. And there were some kids running around, and, you know, not very many people in evidence. So I kind of sat there and was, they had this tiny little swimming pool. It was the public swimming pool of this town. It was fenced in, and it was it looked about, I would say about 10 feet by 10 feet square, concrete swimming pool. And it was actually empty at the moment, but it was obviously, it's sort of this public facility where during the summer the kids would come and swim in, etc. Interesting little town. A town was called Zhipniki. And it wasn't on the map. It wasn't on the map at all. And found out after much kind of sign language and so forth that the road actually continued on the other side of the village. But how frustrating is that, that you would have a map that actually pointed you the wrong way, that actually didn't... And I was actually able to find my way to this other little town. I think the town was Hluboké. And was able to go visit the southern little town. Not much in these old towns. They're all kind of the same. Most of them are kind of older towns. They've been there for, you know, a few hundred years. They have a kind of a central little square. And surrounding the central little square, there's a number of buildings. Usually they'll have a tavern. What they call pivovar in the Czech Republic, which literally means brewery. But it's basically their pubs. You know, people go there and they drink beer. And, of course, a lot of these little towns have their own beers. Beers, like I said last time, are incredibly popular. Czech Republic is the number one beer drinking country in the world. And of course, for beer lovers, maybe that's paradise, but for somebody who hates beer, it wasn't much of anything to me. Looking at the messages here real quick. Blame it on the Skype, says Zach. Yeah, the Skype is kind of acting up. We have a couple other messages here. No more messages. That's it. All right. So I thought it was really interesting, this whole concept of the pivovar. And I guess that the way this works is that a lot of these pivovars make their own beer. And being the big beer drinking country that the Czech Republic is, they're just everywhere. Yaroslavl had a couple of them. A lot of these little towns did. And they would usually have like a little general store. They would have a pivovar. They might have a little restaurant. Almost none of them had anything like a hotel. And it was just sort of the little market for that town. Sometimes there would be a little grocery store. Yaroslavl had actually kind of a large grocery store, like a supermarket. And I went in there. I actually went into the supermarket in Yaroslavl. And it was kind of expecting it to be, you know, kind of the stereotype that we have here in the States about the Soviet era grocery store. You know, so you wait like 10 hours in line for a loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread costs a penny, but there's only like 10. You know, so you wait all day and then you don't get it. Yeah, and I walked into a modern grocery store with fully stocked shelves. And things were very reasonable price, and yeah. So you can't believe everything you hear. Anyway, oh gosh, I'm running. Time is running out. I have to move along here. So I actually was able to hike around to a lot of these little towns. Now, one of the interesting things, like I said about the Czech Republic, of course, there's a lot of ruins and castles. And I found a couple of these were sort of on my way. So I actually went on my way, kind of out of my way sometimes, to go visit these ruins. And there was one in particular I thought I would mention. I can't remember the name of the castle. And I've been spending all week, I've been kind of trying to look for it. But apparently it's not notable enough to actually show up on any of the like Google Maps or anything like that. But I was heading from Yaroslavl, where I was based at the time, to Danjukovice, which is where my grandmother's family came from. My mother's mother's family came from there. And there was a ruin of a castle on sort of this hilltop, covered in forest. Beautiful setting. There were people up there having picnics. There was sort of the scenic overlook, kind of out over the valley that kind of leads down into Danjukovice. Absolutely gorgeous. Now, there are a couple other places that were notable. And one of those is Litomysl, and I kind of talked about that earlier, and I took the train up there. I actually had to hitchhike to the town to get the train, because there weren't a lot of trains, like I said. Now, hitchhiking in the Czech Republic was really, really easy to do, because that's the way a lot of people got around there, at least at the time. I don't know what it's like now, but at the time, a lot of people were getting around by hitchhiking. And so it was as easy as putting out your thumb. Never had to wait very long before somebody would stop. Occasionally, the people would speak a little English. I think I hitchhiked from Yaroslavl to Litomysl, or to the town where I caught the train to Litomysl. Sorry, I don't remember the name of that town. And then from Litomysl, I hitchhiked to this little town called Polichka. Now, Litomysl is a larger city, and I actually stayed, I wouldn't say city, it's a larger town, probably about 20,000 people. Was able to stay in a hotel there. And the thing about Litomysl that's interesting is they're very, very well-preserved medieval buildings. They had this beautiful, beautiful medieval town square. Really nice restaurants there, incidentally. And Czech food... I liked the Czech food in general, but if you're a vegetarian like me and traveling in the Czech Republic, it is not a very vegetarian-friendly cuisine. It's very heavily influenced on the German cuisine, which means a lot of dumplings, a lot of meat, a lot of sausages, And for a vegetarian, I was kind of very restricted to sort of salads. And one of the national dishes of the Czech Republic, šmacený sýr. And šmacený sýr is what we would call in this country deep fried cheese. But they don't do like we do here. Here in the U.S., you know, you order fried cheese as an appetizer, and you get these mozzarella sticks that are kind of battered and deep fried. But here in the Czech Republic, you order šmacený sýr, and you get this basically like a half-pound brick of cheese that's been deep fried. And very, very tasty, but so, so greasy. But it was yummy, though. Have to say, it was yummy. And, you know, for somebody who doesn't drink beer, it kind of gets complicated as well. Now, you can always get Coke, you know, Coke and Pepsi. You can get those pretty much anywhere. But I was trying out a lot of these local sodas. And the one in particular I remember that was, they called it cola, but it was purple. So I thought, it's grape soda. And it turned out not to be. But it was still good, though. And when I was drinking alcohol, and I wasn't drinking alcohol on this trip very much, and but I was able to get some Becherovka, which is a Czech liqueur. It's a herbal liqueur, not really like an absinthe or like chartreuse or something like that. It was more like a spirit than a liqueur, but very, very tasty and kind of something you drink on its own. Like, you know, you don't really mix it with stuff. Anyway, getting way off the subject here. So Lidomysle, with its very well-preserved medieval square, hitchhiked from there to Polička. Now, Polička is actually the hometown of the composer Smetana. And he is, in fact, buried there in the cemetery there in Polička. It's a walled city, not very big. But it is another very well-preserved medieval city. And the wall, I believe, is still completely surrounding, and you have to go in to the city via certain gates. And this is one of those towns that I kind of wish I'd had time to stay in longer. I stayed there for a couple of days and used it as a base of operations again to hike to some of the, you know, closer cities. One of those towns that I went to was a little place called Krutzenberg. Kind of way out, hitchhiked out there. It was a little bit too far to walk, just for time reasons. Not for distance reasons, but for time. And I was able to hitchhike out there. Not really much of anything there. But a lot of these little towns, you know, they have their little square, and they'll have like a war memorial. They'll have a little shrine to the Virgin Mary. A lot of these towns do have these little religious shrines in the town square. And then it came time to move along. Now, I was kind of at that point deciding where to go. It was kind of done with the Czech Republic. I was kind of thinking about moving on, going somewhere else, and decided that I was going to go to Vienna, primarily because I needed to do laundry. I've been a couple of weeks in the Czech Republic, and when I travel, I only carry like 3 changes of clothes with me. And the last time I'd been able to do laundry was in Prague. So it was definitely, at that point, all my clothes are kind of dirty and not really all that pleasant to be around, probably. So I actually went all the way to Vienna, which really isn't that far, to be honest, to do laundry. But before that, I stopped in a town called Brno, which is a fairly large town in Moravia. Pretty nice place, actually. They have a beautiful medieval castle there called Spilberg Castle. And they have another very nice medieval building, which is their town hall, their city hall. And it's interesting, they have a little gargoyle, grotesque sort of thing on the back of the building. You have to go all the way around the building to the back. And the legend has it that they bricked up one of the former mayors inside the wall of the city hall, and that's supposed to be his face sticking out, though it's obviously a stone carving, and not there's not a person there. And the other thing that was interesting about Brno, actually, I think it's pronounced Brno. Yeah, it's hard to say. I'm really, really bad at this. Was the Capuchin crypts. And this was actually the crypts for the castle, the kind of the nobleman The noble women who lived in this castle were buried in this crypt, and eventually the Capuchin monks came in. If you know anything about the Capuchin monks, they're a really, really interesting group of people who like to preserve corpses for people to look at. And this crypt had a bunch of mummies in it of the various noble people who had lived, and they were just kind of in their twisted, you know, death poses. And they had been mummified, and you could actually pay 50 cents and go and look at them. So thought that was really, really interesting. Anyway, I'm running out of time. I got to go. So thanks for listening. Take care. Talk maybe a little bit more about this next week. From Tom at Tom Harris USA, this is me signing off. See you next time. Stay tuned for Sean Richards. I think he's coming up next. Bye for now.